Testament, there were two different particular individuals that Jesus Christ represents today, or that they represented him in a case, and one was called the Kinsman Redeemer. Now, the Kinsman Redeemer was someone that would buy back somebody's property, or maybe somebody was in prison because of their debt, or in slavery because of their debt, or maybe they had lost their land because of some financial problems. And so the Kinsman Redeemer would be the next one of kin that would have the ability, would come and either pay the debt, buy back the land, buy that person out of slavery. In other words, take them out of that slavery condition and put them back into life. And that's exactly, of course, what the love of God does. Jesus Christ is the Kinsman Redeemer. But also in the Bible is something called the Avenger of Blood. And so some people just think that Jesus Christ is like this Santa Claus up in heaven that just loves everybody regardless of what they do. And it really doesn't make any difference how they live or whether or not they respond to the Bible or any of that stuff. He just loves everybody and everybody's going to heaven. And I'm here to tell you that's absolutely not true. Jesus Christ is also what is recalled the Avenger of Blood. Now, in the Old Testament, if you intentionally murdered somebody, the next of kin had the right to come and take your life. If you intentionally do something and you knew what you were doing, then the next of kin could gather some people and they would come, find that murderer, and track him or her down and take their life. They had the right to do that. That was called the right of the Avenger of Blood. Well, Jesus Christ certainly is our Kinsman Redeemer because he came to redeem us from the slave market of sin. That's what the Bible says. Before we're saved, we're dead in sins, and Jesus Christ came to give his life and then give us his life that we might be redeemed. And so he is our Kinsman Redeemer. I'm not going to go into great detail on this, but I just wanted to explain that to you. And someday maybe I'll teach on that subject. But he also is the Avenger of Blood. And the Bible says very clearly, and you might look in John chapter 1 quickly, because I want to put this whole thing in perspective. Let's see. I think it's John chapter 1. I didn't look this up, and I should have. Okay, that's not the right scripture. But anyway, what I wanted to say to you, the Bible says very simply that if we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are condemned by God. The law condemns us. We're guilty before God. And everyone that's guilty before God that does not come to Jesus Christ is eventually going to end up, and they're going to end up in a place for those that did not love Jesus, that did not receive his love. They are going to end up in a place called the Lake of Fire. Now, I want you to know that, so turn to Revelation chapter 20. To this idea that Jesus is going to let people get away with anything with this stuff and just live without him for the rest of their life and go to heaven is absolutely not scriptural. And it says very simply, I want you to look in Revelation 20 and verse 11. Now, this is for people, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. This is absolutely the truth of Scripture. There's going to be a judgment for those that are not Christians. Jesus is going to come again and eventually going to judge every single person who was ever born from Adam all the way to the coming of Jesus, they will stand before him as what is called in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, that's Jesus, from whom whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But here it is in verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now we're talking about eternal fire here. Jesus is not only the avenger of blood, he came to save those that respond to him. He's the kinsman redeemer, but he's also the avenger of blood, and he will deal with those that did not receive him in this lifetime. It will take place. So God is love, but he's also perfect justice, and we have to understand that. The law of God is the Ten Commandments and other commandments in the Old Testament, and anybody that disobeys those laws are destined for eternal lake of fire if they do not receive the kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. So when I teach the love of God, I want you to understand there's also the justice of God. It is perfectly just, and if they don't have Christ, they will not go to heaven. I don't care how many times they've been in church, religious activities, whatever, they will not go according to the Scriptures. So I want that to be clear. Okay, now, we've been talking about the love of God, and we talked about the love of God is different than an emotional type of love. It is a decision made by God to love you before the foundation of the world. He chose to love you before you were ever born. So actually, even though we're born in sin, the Bible says, we are loved by God. But the issue is, God loving us is not going to get us to heaven. It's God loving us and us responding to God is going to give us to heaven. Just God's love will not get anybody into heaven. We have to respond. We have to make a profession of faith, whatever you want to call it. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, he gave our life, his life for us. We give our life for him, to him. It's just that simple. Those that do that will go to heaven. Those that do not will go to the eternal lake of fire eventually, according to the Word of God. So God is love. God is justice. Perfect balance of the scales, as you see sometimes. Over halls of justice, you'll see the scales and so forth. Well, the perfect balance of God is that he's love and he's also justice. Now, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you then are judged by his love, not by his justice. In other words, by his grace and by his mercy. When those that are saved receive the mercy of God, as well as the love of God. He does not give us what we deserve. If you're a Christian, you will not receive what you deserve, which is a good thing. But we will receive what Christ deserves. We're going to receive what Jesus Christ deserves. We are joint heirs. We will inherit with him the kingdom of God. So, he takes us out of that lost, out of the darkness, puts us into the light. We become sons and daughters of God. We then are joint heirs with Christ, and we will inherit from the Father everything that Jesus Christ inherits. So, it doesn't mean we're equal with Him. He's the firstborn. He has the preeminence. He will always be preeminent with us. Now, there's a lot of things about this love that are important. And the Bible says very simply, now listen to this carefully, if you receive the love of God, you're to give it to other people. That is a process that is to take place. Some people call that going full circle, and that's right. He loves us, we love Him, we love other people. That is extremely important, and it's one of the ways, actually it says they'll know we are Christians by our what? They'll know we are Christians by our what? There you go. So you look at some people and you say, whoa, they say they're a Christian, they don't act like one. Well, we're not the judge necessarily, but the issue is that we are to love other people. We're to forgive them when they do us wrong, and we are to confess our sins when we do God wrong in this life, and that keeps us in the love of God. So this love will never fail. We talked about that. God cannot fail. His love cannot fail. So He has you in His hand. That cannot fail, as the Bible says. We have everlasting life, and everlasting life is to live in the love of God forever. That's what it is. And so have we got something to look forward to? Yes, we do. Have we got something to get excited about? Yes. Do we have something to get up for in the morning? Yes, we do. The love of God. The love of God. Receiving from Him, giving out to other people. That's what life is. You want to live longer? Receive from Him, give out to other people. You want to live a shorter life? Get mad at everybody and blame everybody for all your problems. It's just that simple. It always somebody else did it, you know. And that'll guarantee you to shorten your life. Or if it doesn't shorten it, it'll be miserable. One or the other. And so God is very detailed in giving us the information to how to live a life that's satisfying to Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people live in what we call emotional love. Everything's going good, they love. Things are going bad, they hate. Things are going good, they love. Things are going bad, they live in fear. That's emotional love. It's not the love of God. The love of God is constant. It is strong. It is eternal. It will never fail. We need to start thinking like the Bible thinks. Start thinking like God thinks. You can come up with all kinds of things of why that isn't right, but the Bible says it is. And so if the Bible says it is, it is. Now, a lot of people think that the opposite of love is hate, but that's not really true. The opposite of love is fear. That's the opposite of love. How do you know you're not in the love of God? If you're fearful about something. Now, I'm not talking about the rattlesnakes about to bite you. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But I'm talking about life in general. If you're living in fear, then you're not living in the love of God. So let's look at 1 John 4:18. 1 John, not John. 1 John 4:18. Now, if you want to know about the love of God, read 1 John. That's what the whole book's all about. 1 John will tell you everything there is to know about the love of God in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. This says, there is no fear in love. There it is right there. There is no fear in love. The opposite of love is fear. But perfect love casts out fear. If you have the love of God, it will cast out fear. It doesn't mean we can get apprehensive about things. But the point is, if you concentrate on the news, you're going to live in fear. Now, it's just the way it is. And not only will you hear it one time, you'll hear it 100 times a day if you listen long enough. They just have the same thing over and over and over and over again. And you're going to live in fear because you're going to finally decide what's happening over in Afghanistan is happening in your backyard or some crazy thing. And perfect love casts out fear because fear has punishment. Now I'll tell you another thing that will give you fear in your life when you don't love other people. That will bring fear in your life. It's an automatic thing. If you don't give out love, fear will come in. It opens the door of fear. Now, I'm not talking about being apprehensive, maybe if you have some illness or something of that nature for a period of time, but you don't want to live in that for weeks on end. The issue is you may have a sudden fear, but you shouldn't live in that fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has punishment. Look at that. Fear has punishment. One of the things that means is that fear, living in fear for an extended period of time, will open the door to demonic activity. I hope you're listening to me. There is such a thing. In other words, to give you a balanced picture, you have God, but you also have Satan. Everything the Bible teaches is in balance. You have God, who is supreme, but you have Satan, who can create some difficulties in people's lives if we open the door to the devil. And one of the ways we do it is to live in fear in an extended period of time. That's why it's important to get involved in church, and I mean get involved in church. It is important. It will cause you not to live in fear and stay in and be in the Word of God. It will keep you out of fear. And fear will, over an extended period of time, will open the door to demonic activity. That's what it means right here when it says, because fear has punishment. That's what it means. It will create all kinds of problems. He that fears is not made perfect in love. That's the rest of that verse. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So, well, an automatic signal to you that you're not living in the love of God is that fear is constantly bombarding you in your life, whatever it is. Now you'd say, well, it's just natural. If you get sick, you're fearful. Am I going to get well? Am I going to ever live healthy again, et cetera, et cetera? And if you're older, is it my time to die? And you can just get into all that stuff. And you ought to be like Millie. Now, Millie was in the hospital a few days ago, and some doctor came in that didn't have the best tact in the world and promptly went over to her bedside, looked her in the eye, and said, "You're dying." Can you imagine that kind of, well, it happened. That was true. I got witnesses. I didn't make this up. And you know what Millie said? "I don't think it's my time yet." That's what she said. Instead of, "Oh my God, I'm going to die. The time has come. I don't think it's my time yet." Well, that's what she said. She said, "Well, everybody's got to die sometime, but I don't think it's my time." Now, she could have got all shook, and probably if she'd have gotten all shook, she'd have probably died very quickly there. But she said, "No, it's not my time." And it wasn't her time because she's still breathing today, you see. And I don't know when her time is. Could be any time. She's 94. She said, "I understand people die." But she said, "I don't think it's my time." She didn't get all shook and all bent out of shape and all kinds of fear. She has some problems, but I don't know. She may die tomorrow or she may die 5 years from now. I have no idea. But the issue is, perfect love casts out fear. And the worst thing that happens is you're going to be with Jesus forever. I mean, that's not a bad thing. The best is yet to come. I don't care if the doctor comes up and says you're going to die if you're a Christian. A funeral should be a celebration. I didn't say you shouldn't shed some tears and have a period of mourning, but the issue is, if you know where the person is, it's a celebration. Now, it's easier to celebrate when somebody dies in their 90s than it is when somebody dies in their 50s. I understand that. Because when they die that young, you always think, well, you know, what's the deal here? It isn't a fact whether they went to heaven or not, but did they die in what, you know, what caused this type of thing? But the Bible says if you're 70 years old, you've lived it pretty much. And so if you're over 70, praise God for every day, you know, hallelujah. But the day's going to come. And it could be any time, you know. So we're not going to live in fear that we're going to die every 5 minutes. That's not the issue. The issue is we live in love. And I'm going to tell you this, as long as you can show the love of God to other people, then you got a purpose on this earth and you got a reason to be alive. Do I hear an amen? Amen. If you're an old sourpuss and you just don't like people, I don't want to be around anybody and blah, 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 well then you haven't got any purpose on this earth. I say you haven't got any purpose on this earth. I mean, come on. This is what the Bible says. So that's one reason to encourage each other. Someone gets down, somebody lifts you up. You know what I mean? That's one reason you go to church. Maybe you're a little bit down, but somebody blesses you, or you ask somebody to pray for you and get back in the thing, because perfect love casts out fear. That's what the Bible says. Christians are not to live in fear. Now, I understand if you're over in China and they're ready to throw you in jail, if you say the word Jesus, you'd be apprehensive, I understand. But the issue is perfect love casts out fear. That doesn't change what the Scripture says. Now, you can't love, if you're in fear, you're not going to love other people. You're going to be one self-centered, the whole world revolves around me person, and you're going to be miserable. I'm sure if I had a show of hands, somebody you know, it's like that. Because they're all over the place. Just don't be like that yourself. I'm trying to tell you, the world doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around Jesus Christ. So you better get into the right one because he's the one that's going to be at the end, he's still going to be standing. Are you listening to me? The devil's going to go down to defeat. He's still going to be standing. I'd get with the right one, and that's Jesus. So we're talking about the love of God. And also you're going to have fear if you blame everybody else for your problems. George did it and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, it's nonsense. You start blaming everybody. You blame some political party or somebody in Congress or something someplace else. And we get into the blame game. And fear is going to come in. The enemy is going to come in. You're going to be miserable. That's not the kind of life the Bible talks about or wants you to have. Now, you can lose contact with God's love. As a Christian, you can get off into fear. You can get off your fellowship with God. You can mess that up. I didn't say your relationship. I said your fellowship. It'd be like being in a family and being mad at some member, not speaking to them. I know nobody here has ever been like that. But the issue is that you can be out of fellowship with somebody, and you get out of fellowship with God, and it's possible when you get into fear, because when you're in fear, you can't receive the love of God, as far as that's concerned. Now, look in John 15:10. John 15:10. If you're listening, say amen. All right. I thought maybe everybody went home or something. Okay, John 15 and verse 10. And this is what it says. Look at this. Here's another thing about it. How to stay in love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. That's very, very simple, very clear. Shouldn't be hard to understand. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Somebody's always talking to somebody and they say, I say, you're a Christian? Oh, yeah. Where do you go to church? Well, haven't been going, you know. Well, you're not obeying the commandment of God. I'm talking to people that are not faithful. Nobody here, I'm sure. But the thing is, I'm just going to tell you the way it is. You can't be in the love of God and disobey Him. You can't be in the love of God and disobey the Word of God. You can't be in the love of God if God tells you to call somebody and pray for them and you don't do it. You're not in the love of God. You can't be in the love of God if somebody next to you is in terrible pain and you don't pray for them, then you're not in the love of God. I'm trying to help you understand what this Christian life is all about. Now, this is what you do if you remain in His love. You're obedient to Him. You read the Word of God. You're in the Word of God. You go to Bible study. You attend church. You pray for people. You love people. Somebody's in trouble on TV, you pray for them. That's the only reason I know of to watch the news. If there's a tornado, somebody's place is destroyed, pray for those folks. You'd say, well, I just don't know what to pray for. Turn the news on. Somebody's always kidnapping somebody, shooting somebody, or some crazy thing, and I wouldn't have a steady diet of it. But I'm telling you this, if you listen to that junk and don't pray for the folks, what good is it? Now, we need to be obedient. And the same old thing, if you don't love other people, you're going to be in fear. It's going to come in. It automatically comes in. It's an automatic thing. If you're not loving people, unloving things are going to come in. If you're not receiving the love of God, unloving things are going to come in. It's just automatic. It's like breathing. It happens. If you're not doing the good things, bad things are going to come in. It just happens that way. You say, well, I've decided I'm going to quit work and I'm just going to play. I'll guarantee you that's a disastrous thing in somebody's life because you'll eventually get in trouble. I guarantee it'll happen. You'll get in some kind of trouble and get into it real quick. It doesn't take long because there's demonic powers waiting for you to get out of the love of God. I said there's demonic powers waiting for you to get out of the love of God. I'm talking about the Christian life here. I'm trying to get it down where we all understand it, and it's very clear. Look in Matthew 6:34. Matthew 6:34. There's a lot of scriptures about these things, but we'll hit a few of them. Matthew 6:34. Oh my, I thought I was going to finish this today, but we'll see. Matthew 6:34 says, be therefore not anxious about tomorrow. You know, it's an interesting thing about this. We read these scriptures, we just read through it and read over it and keep on reading, and we don't apply it to ourselves. It's, be therefore not anxious or worried about tomorrow or afraid, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. In other words, one of the ways that Satan messes up your day is to get you to worry about something 2 weeks from now. That's what he does. That's how he does it. If you would just take this day, love God, love other people, be in the Scriptures, speak good things out of your mouth, this is going to be a good day. But if you start worrying about something 2 weeks or 2 years down the road, you're not going to do what you're supposed to be doing now. All you're going to do is worry about those things, and then evil's going to come in. That's exactly what the Bible says. You take it one day at a time. You don't worry. You can be concerned. You can prepare for things coming. But the issue is you don't worry about them, and you don't get your mind all on what's going to happen in the future. But you live it one day at a time, and just understand that God loves you more than anybody else could possibly ever love you, or 10 people put together could love you. He loves you with a constant love, never fails, never stops, always there. You see, I'm teaching you how to live the Christian life. Most of us read about it, but we don't live it. Let's be honest. We have it this way. Well, I know I'm going to heaven. I know God loves me, so I'll just kind of set him aside. I'm going to live this day till I get in trouble, and then I'll call upon God. That's what most of us do, let's be honest. And that's not the way to do it. It is so clear in the Bible. Now, so another thing is you can't live in unforgiveness. You have to forgive people. I didn't say you had to live with them. I said you had to forgive them. If it's somebody you live with, that's another thing. But the issue is you have to forgive people. I don't care what they did. Doesn't make any difference. You got to forgive them. I don't care what they did. If you don't, you're going to be thinking about that all the time. And so there's two things going to mess you up. Living in the past, living in the future. Either one of them, Satan will bop you. That's the way he works. I always say some people live their life looking in the rearview mirror. And you're going to run into something. You can go back in your past and find 10 people that did you wrong. You can find out that maybe they did you horribly wrong. I didn't say they didn't do it. All I said was, God said, forgive them, and He will fulfill the days that the locusts have eaten. That's what the Bible says. But if you don't forgive them, the locusts are going to keep on chewing on your big toe. That's the way it is. Now, I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. I'm talking about how to live daily the Christian life. You can't live it in fear. You can't worry about what's happening 2 weeks from now. You can't keep thinking about what happened 2 weeks ago. You can't think about everything people did wrong. I guarantee you, if that's what's on your mind all the time, it's from the devil. It's not from God. I got a weak amen on that. Okay. Now. Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Let me tell you what happens if you don't confess your sin. If you do something wrong, you confess it. If somebody else wrongs you, you forgive them. And I'll tell you what happens if you don't, your heart gets hard. Your heart gets hard. That's what happens. Can that happen to a Christian? Yes. Does it mean they're going to hell? No. It means they're going to be miserable? Yes. Yes, you can.
I was in the hospital once at a heart meeting, and they had these monitors all over me.
Yes.
And somebody came to visit, and we got to talk about something that happened in the past.
Yes.
And the nurse came in the room and said, "What's happening up here?" And I was there, well, we're just talking about this situation that happened to me in the past. And she said, "It's bothering your heart, and I can quit talking about it."
Hear that? You hear that? The Bible knows what's going on here. It messes up you. It messes you up physically, mentally, and every other way. God said, live one day at a time. That's what He said. There's enough things going on today without worrying about the past and worrying about tomorrow. Prepare for the future. Give up the past. It's over. It's done. You can't change it. You can't change one thing that happened yesterday. Yes. That's right.
But the devil,
yes.
He gets
to us,
yes. Remind us how we were. That's okay. The only way he can get to us. That's the way I see it.
Yes, that's correct. And God said he died for that past. Let it go. Let it go. If Christians just get that part right, it would make such a difference in the body of Christ. It makes such a difference in everything. It makes such a difference in marriages. It makes a difference in families. It makes a difference in friendships. It makes a difference in every part of your life. And just like Betty said, that was about the best example I've heard. I'm telling you, when you talk about these negative things, it makes a difference in your physical body. In the cells of your body can change. And when I'm talking about a hardened heart, I'm talking about mental things and spiritual things, and you can't receive. And if you just keep on disobeying God and not giving it up, you may die young. I don't want anybody to do that. I'd rather just talk about, oh, Jesus is wonderful and he's going to bless you and it doesn't make any difference and you're all going to heaven and everything's just so wonderful. And everybody think I was so great. You know, the preachers on TV that do that, people just love them. Send them all kinds of money. It is a riot what they do. You get somebody on there and tells you the truth, say, I don't think I'm going to listen to this guy. Well, I'm going to do what Jesus tells me to do. And I'm going to be obedient to him. So I'm going to tell you the truth. And to me, it's more important than anything else. But if you don't listen to anything else I said today, because I'm going to have to quit, I guess I'm going to finish it next week. But the issue is, on this love thing, just remember what I said. Don't live in the future. Don't live in the past. Live today. Prepare for tomorrow, but live today. Absolutely forget everybody. There isn't anybody here probably, if I said, list three people that hurt you in the past, boom, you'd know exactly who they were, even if it happened 50 years ago. Isn't that right? Absolutely. You'd know some teacher that didn't give you the grade you wanted. You'd know some boyfriend or girlfriend that went after somebody else. You would know somebody that didn't give you a raise and gave somebody else one that didn't deserve it. You just got all that junk in your mind. And I'm telling you, this is holding you back from what God wants to do in your life. You want to know why we don't have a revival? That's one of the main reasons right there. I realize there are people that have been molested and abused, particularly when they were children. It was an awful thing. I wish that hadn't happened to you, but it did. Could God have stopped it? God lets man do his crazy stuff. I'm just telling you that. God, we're not robots. We have our own mind. We make our own decisions. We have a will. But I'm telling you this, you got to take that and put it into the hands of Jesus and start singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. He never abused anybody. He never will abuse anybody. He never will put anybody down. He never will give you a hard time unless you're messing around with the devil. And he's not going to do any of that stuff. He's going to love you forever. And the only way thing that's going to heal your life is the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you got to make the decision to forgive. You got to give them up. You got to give it up and quit blaming everybody else and everything else for where you're at today, and let that go, cut that off, and start fresh in the name of Jesus. Yes. Oh, sure.
My child died, God let him die.
Yeah.
And they hit you on the head, all their lives.
Well, I'm telling you, that didn't hurt God any, but it messes them up.
Well,
it messes them up. Blaming all that stuff on God. You can't hurt God. I mean, it's an impossibility. But he'd rather have you do that and get straightened out. He'd rather have you cuss him out and come to him for forgiveness than blame him all your life for something happened in your life. The Christian life is different than the secular life. It's different. It's not the same. It's a different kind of life. That's why they put Jesus on the cross. They couldn't understand him. He wasn't like they were. And he was teaching a different type of love and life, and they put him on the cross and he died because he was living the kind of life that I'm teaching and preaching on today. And some people won't go for it, and that's the way it is. But some will, and so what we're to do is be obedient to God, keep fear out of our life, always walk in the love of God, I don't care what the situation is, and you're going to be blessed forever. Let's stand before the Lord. Now, we're not done because we have the Lord's